I have a strange sense of as if this were a most unusual type of class tonight. The reason is that if we come to the point where some stone within us rolls over and a new insight begins to rise, this will be a turning point kind of class. And although it probably will be, I have no certainty of it, and this is the feeling that I have. What is going to happen? In preparing for this class, and I think the chapter is about spiritual power, the title is The Nature of Spiritual Power. And in preparing for it, in addition to reading the chapter and contemplating certain passages in it, there was a great deal of additional activity. And this activity was the kind that revealed certain insights which, when riveted down, when so understood that they are automatic, that they are consciousness itself, then we can begin to feel the possibilities of walking in the same footsteps as the masters. We can begin to see that our quest is not one of a mere mortal being seeking to emulate stories that he has read or heard about, but that we are much closer to the goal of discovering that we too are the living spirit itself, and we too can manifest the power of that spirit in our daily activities, in our attitudes toward our fellow man, in our work, in our relationships at home, in the office, in the business world, in the world of education, in the world of government, in the world of theology, everywhere that we are. It is possible for us to display the fruits of a new dimension of consciousness, provided that stone is rolled away, and we must identify the stone and where it is, what it constitutes, and what is necessary to move it so that something that it is blocking can rise and function where we stand. Now the word malpractice pops up. And it is a self-malpractice, for one thing, a malpractice of our own selves in which we make one prime error. We seek God. We seek spiritual power. We seek health. We seek abundance. We seek. And in the seeking, we deny that which we do not realize we have. That seeking is the expression of one who is unaware that I am that which I seek. And until we learn to stop the seeking, until we have been given a sufficient insight to accept that which is ever present all around us, we will discover that the thing we are seeking, we are pushing away from us. It literally is begging us to accept it, and we are turning our back and going off to seek it. Not where it is, for it is right where we stand. Now then, we come to the two worlds, the one in which we are seeking and the world in which those things we are seeking already pre-exist, this very bodily form in which we walk. Spiritual power can never come to the mortal mind. It simply cannot make contact with that which we call our human minds. And it is that very human mind which is seeking that spiritual power. Now they are east and west, you might say, and the twain shall not meet. But there is a way to remove the barrier which this mortal mind places between itself and spiritual power. And that way is the way that we have persistently refused to follow. The reasons are quite numerous: false teaching, ignorance, superstition, conditioning. But beyond that, the reason we have refused to remove the barrier between spiritual power and the human mind is that the only way to remove it is to crucify that mind. And this we have been unable to bring ourselves to do. Now the mind we're talking about is part of a two-way channel. And this is where we can come in to an understanding that will enable us to isolate the real problem. There are two channels of thought that are competing for your attention. The one channel of thought is divine, and the other channel of thought is not understood. It certainly isn't understood by the man on the street. It isn't understood by the theologian. It is not understood by the psychologist and the psychiatrist. In fact, it is not understood in any human walk of life. And it is very difficult to grasp. Once you have understood it, you still have nothing more than an understanding without the application of it. And so I will stress at this point that when, through this meeting, it becomes very clear to you, you merely have a seed that now must be planted. And the planting of that seed is going to be a consistent practicing of your understanding until the daily erosion of your human affairs does not erase it from you. Now this is probably a great turning for us, and so let us proceed with caution. The channel in which we function today as human beings is the channel in which good and evil appear. This channel consists of one universal mind. One universal mind. And that universal mind is where all good and all evil appears. And know this, never does the good or the evil leave that mind. It never can get outside of this universal mind. And that includes the earthquake and the bomb. The earthquake can never come outside of this universal mind, the bomb can never externalize itself outside of this human mind, this universal human mind. And this universal human or mortal mind in which the bomb, the earthquake, the disease appears, becomes your individual human mind. And this is your channel. This is the channel on which we all function as men and women. Thinking with a mind that is not our individual creative mind, but rather an expression of one universal mind. And all evil, which to you appears external to your being, never is. There is no discord external to you. There is no war external to you. There is no problem external to you. There is never going to be an earthquake or a bomb external to you. What you are looking at, what your mind is seeing, is nothing but a relay of a universal mind picture relayed into your individualized universal mind. Again, slowly, let us proceed on this point until it is established. You are looking at a universal picture. This world is in it. This world is one infinite picture in one universal mind. All of it. This world never can get outside of that universal mind because that's where it is. All that takes place in this world can never get outside of that universal mind. And that universal mind being everywhere, it becomes what you call your individual mind. And we're still not talking about the divine mind. We haven't come to that. That is another channel. The channel on which we are functioning is a system in which a universal false mind becomes an individual false mind, and whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5 billion of them, each of these individual minds are that one universal false mind, which is not the divine, and which is the meaning of the fall from Eden. This false universal mind is currently functioning as the mind of the President of the United States, of the Cabinet of the United States, of the various so-called spiritual leaders of the world, of the kings and emperors and various dynasties throughout the universe, of their subjects, of their cabinets, of the writers, the scientists, all who live in this world are functioning on one universal false mind. It is for that reason that we are told, be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Have that mind that was in Christ Jesus. Now that is the other channel. And that other channel is the one infinite divine mind. And it does not have an opposite. There is no second mind. It is the only mind. And unless we function on that channel, what happens is very simple. Our thoughts are presented to us by the universal counterfeit mind, and we observe these thoughts, and we call them material things. Universal thought becomes material things. And there is no way that the human individual mind can do anything except confirm that. That's all we have is an echo mind, which confirms everything that the universal mind puts into us. Matter is that mind formed, confirmed by your individual mind. Matter stemming from a universal false mind, is that false mind made visible. All matter is therefore under the law of a false mind. And if you wish to remove any form of discord from your body or your so-called external experience, when you go straight to the discord and try to remove that and even succeed, the seed of that discord is still in the universal mind and will reappear. For that reason, in spiritual work, you never go to the discord. Rather, you go directly to the other channel, bypassing the universal mind, because its externalized forms are nothing more than its false thought appearing as good and evil. We will then go to the other channel, to the divine mind, where divine thought coming through us will externalize as form under divine law. And in that manner will slowly dissolve that which had appeared as an externalization of the false thought of a false universal mind. Now this may be Greek to some of you. To those who have been following the text, it is not. And so we're coming to the understanding now that when I walk in a human mind, I am an echo of a universal human mind which must shadow forth the world of opposites, the world of good health and bad health, the world of lack and abundance, the world of limitation and unlimitation. Always in the false universal mind, which is an imitation of the divine mind, there are opposites. Whereas in the universal, in the infinite, divine self, divine mind, the one that is mind, the opposites do not appear. Truth is without opposite. Abundance is without opposite. Health is without opposite. All forms of activity are without opposite, and life is without opposite, so that death is unknown. Now we are walking in the one mind, and it will always externalize the false thought that is fed into it. So we will live then on laws of heredity, laws of limitation, laws of disease, laws of old age, laws of eventual death. But all things were created by God. And in divine mind, there is no evil. In divine mind, there is no death. In divine mind, there is no limitation or lack or bad health or cancer or arthritis. In divine mind, the errors of this world, the epidemics, the disasters, do not appear. But all things were created by God. And if these things are not in God, not in divine mind, which is the only mind, where are they? They cannot be in divine mind. They cannot be in another mind because there is no other. Where are they? We find we have our imagined universe, our imagined world, our imagined problems, and they are imagined by a mind that is non-existent. Now there is a place where when you abide, the weapons of this world cannot prosper against you. There is such a place. It's called a secret place. And I would like to find a way for us all to reach an understanding of the modus operandi involved here, so that rather than merely state that if you abide in the secret place of the Most High, these weapons of the world cannot be prospered against you, let us understand why. Nobody in your home can force you to listen to a certain TV program unless you want to be there. You can always leave the room. You don't have to watch it. And if you happen to be the person in your home who makes the decision about what shall be on, you will simply turn that switch. And then the program you don't want to see, you won't see. Now let us say that we also have that power about disease, about earthquakes, about bombs, about bullets. If we can learn how to abide, to live, to have our being, not in the universal false mind, individual mind channel, which externalizes into false forms that we call matter, but rather can learn to abide in the divine mind channel, which externalizes into forms that are under divine law, then we can walk in those forms and not be touched by the evils of this world. Now the place we're treading at this moment is the very fine line unknown to all in every form of religion that is on this earth today. And yet, it is a true and existent state of living which is available to those who are prepared to take the steps that are necessary to remove themselves from a false universal channel of thought. If our foundation has been established sufficiently, we are willing to look at the forms in which the world sees us today and say, that is not me. Yes, that is a form. And they will bury it, and I will not be in it when they bury it. Nor am I in it at this moment, nor will I ever be in it. It is my form, my possession. It represents the universal mind's concept of my true identity. My identity is not matter. My identity is not matter formed by a mind. I am not a mental, physical being, though I appear to be. That mind which was in Christ Jesus told us, ye are the light, the Spirit of God. And that is an invisible substance. And that invisible substance, I am. That is the invisible substance of mankind. That is the only substance. And that is the only channel on which we may live if we wish to experience the reality of being. And so, for those who have at least made the effort to accept themselves not as mental, physical being, but soul, spirit, consciousness, we can say that I am not confined to a form. I am not confined to a place or to a time. I am the living Spirit of God, one with the Father. Wherever the Father is, I am, and wherever I am, the Father is, for we are one. And because we are one, I do not have a mind separate and apart from the Father. I do not have a human mind if my Father has a spiritual divine mind, because there is only one. And therefore the mind of the Father is my mind. I have no other mind. And all that comes from the universal imitation mind, the universal carnal mind, the universal mortal mind, and then transforms itself into what is called my individual mind, is nothing but a series of sense impressions, which are not mind at all. And these sense impressions are not the mind of God. And therefore, I will not be trapped into accepting the pictures they present. But rather, I will abide in the knowledge that the one mind of God is infinite, and that all that is within it is itself, and there is nothing outside of it, and therefore it must be here now functioning as the mind of every man on earth. It is independent of the pictures we see. It does not depend on our beliefs. It is functioning now. And it is externalizing its thought into perfect spiritual being, which is invisible to the sense impressions of man. Right, the place whereon you stand is the invisible spiritual activity of this divine mind. You do not have to seek spiritual power. It is where you are now. But you must open out a way for it to express in your experience. Not seek it. Move the stone that it may be released in you. And so we are moving the stone now to the degree that I am rejecting a human mind as my mind, and rejecting a human body formed by that mind as my body, and accepting the words of the prophets, the words of Jesus, the words of John, the words of the mystics, all as representative of the word of Spirit expressing through them, which says, now are we the sons of God. Now. Not tomorrow, not in the hereafter, not 10 seconds from now. But in this now which is eternal, are we the sons of God, and we cannot be the sons of God and be mortal beings too. We cannot serve mammon and God. We cannot ride two horses. We cannot ride two identities. And so we turn from the one we are not. We don't have to become the Son of God. We don't have to become the Spirit of God. We have to acknowledge that we are the Spirit of God. And does not the Spirit of God have spiritual power? Can the Spirit of God be without spiritual power? In your proper identity, spiritual power is the very functioning of your being. How can you seek what you are? Now then, we're in spiritual power when we are living as the Spirit of God. And the reason we are in spiritual power then is because as the Spirit of God realized, accepted, acknowledged, one with the Father, the Spirit of God is living our lives. And so we come to one power, the power of the divine nature of being, ever expressing itself unopposed. There is no other power on the face of the earth. There are powers that appear in the human mind, universal mind channel. But are they a power over the divine? Are they a power over God? Is not the very ascension after crucifixion that evidence that was needed to show us there is no power over the Spirit? The Spirit will always externalize as form again. And as many times as the prelates of this world think they can exterminate soul forms, they will discover it is impossible. In 3 days, I will raise this body. Why? Because he was not living in the channel of human universal mind. He was living in the channel of divine mind. And it being the only, there is no power in this world against it. And when you and I are living in divine mind, consciously, then and only then, in that abiding, are you in the secret place of the Most High, and then no bomb, bullet, earthquake, flood, fire formed against thee will prosper. Because never can these things come out of the mind in which they are born. They do not externalize. They are images in that mind. And they are only seemingly externalized when you are living in that false mind on that level. But when you are lifted above it, when you transcend the mind that is not, and are living in the mind that is consciously, then none of the forms that appear in this complete and entire world can make contact with you. It is impossible for forms in the third dimension of consciousness to make contact with forms that appear in it but are actually governed by the fourth dimension of consciousness. And to clarify that, I would like to refer you to a comparison or a simile that I have used several times, possibly in your presence. It is the one about the sunshine, which is right under your feet, and while you trample upon it, you never make contact with it. You never, never make contact with it. You cannot leave your footprints in the sunshine. And yet you are there, and it is there. The only contact you will ever make with the sunshine is when it contacts you. You can take your umbrella, and you can swing it at that sunshine all over the place. It will be completely undisturbed. You can shoot bullet holes through it. They will not show. You can drop bombs on it, and when the smoke is cleared, the sunshine will be smiling on the crater made by the bomb. It is in a different dimension, even though it walks the same earth as you do. And the body of Jesus, that Christ form, was in a different dimension. And the Christ form of you, already now, this moment, is in a different dimension. And it cannot be disturbed by the forms of this world. Now, the only way to bring this visible image you call your body into a place where it cannot be perturbed by the forms of this world is for this visible body not to proceed as an image in the human mind, but as an image in the divine mind, so that your form walks the earth as the form of Jesus did, visible, but not governed by human mind. A form that, when it walked through a door, proved the non-existence of the door. A form that could disappear in a crowd because the omniscient mind, the one divine infinite mind, is completely independent of every human idea, form, thought, or power that exists. Now this is a stone then we want to push away. It is a stone of human thought. We want to learn that the universal mind channel of good and evil cannot function unless it has your active cooperation. It needs a human mind through which to funnel its lies, its falsities, its impressions, its beliefs, its divided concepts. And if you will not provide a human mind as a channel for it, it is through where you are concerned. If those thoughts are not accepted in your human mind, they cannot externalize in your human life. And when you take no thought, when you take no human thought, when you refuse to let your human mind stand there as a sitting duck for the beliefs of this world, then you are beginning to roll aside the stone. You are standing still to behold the salvation of the Lord. You are resting in the Word. You are knowingly asserting your dominion over the flood and the fire, the earthquake and the bomb, and saying, you can never get outside of a universal mind, and I am not going to let a universal mind into me. Then you will find the great secret that these are images in thought. And these images in thought, when they cannot enter your thought, cannot externalize as your experience. That is why we are so far away, it seems, from eradicating the problems of this world. We are all living in the same mind which sees them. But the mystical word, the Christ word, tells you that you need not remain immersed in the false witness of this false mind. You can come forth and be separate from this universal mind and the ways to do it begin, of course, with your understanding of the problem. And then your willingness not to be satisfied with a superficial, skin-deep understanding which says, I understand it all, I've got the idea. You must now begin, in a different way than you ever dreamed of, to do things you never dreamed you were going to do. You must look everywhere and reject the material forms of this world as reality. You must look everywhere and accept that where these material forms appear, there stands the Spirit of God. This must be a conscious prayer without ceasing. Never can you afford to turn aside, to go to sleep. Always you must be on the watch, alert, because the instant you are not accepting Spirit as infinite, omnipresent, you are cutting yourself off from it. And in that moment, You are back in the universal individual false mind, and the false powers of the world are bombarding you from every angle. Now, the new exercise is more than an exercise. It is a perpetual rising above appearances to honor in you and in your neighbor the invisible presence of God. As you do this, you are forming the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You are developing spiritual consciousness. This is vital. This cannot be bypassed. If there is one person in this world who is a fool to you, the real fool is yourself. If there is one person that you call Raka, you have made a mistake. If you come to the altar with your gift, but there is one who has ought against thee, leave your gift there. Return to that one. Remove the altercation between you. How? That is no thief. That is no adulteress. That is the Spirit of God. And you must rise above the personal sense of grievance, above the personal sense of retaliation, above the personal sense of vindication, of humiliation, of persecution, above every form of personal sense, and acknowledge this, in spite of the form, in spite of the mask, in spite of the appearance, this is the child of God. And you will do that when you refuse to look out at the world through a human mind. And that is why you must do it. Because when you are able to do it, it will be because you have transcended the human mind, which is a prisoner in a false universal mind. And that is how you will break the hypnotism, break the bondage, break the fetters, and be free. That recognition of the Christ where the murderer, thief, adulteress appears is your freedom, not theirs. It is you stepping forth, becoming separate from world hypnosis, because that is not a murderer. That is not a thief. That is not an adulteress. And it isn't big of you to think it isn't. It's the truth. All that there can be anywhere in this universe is the Spirit of God. And we must be that pure in heart that we do not accept a universe in which there is anything but the Spirit of God. And then we are on the threshold of discovering the power that lies within us. Then we can say and see and feel and demonstrate the Father and I being one, I am omnipotent. I am omniscient. Because all that the Father hath is mine. This is a gigantic step, and it cannot be done by will or determination. It is done by constant vigilance and practice. So much so that each of us would be wise to print a little card, and on that card to say something to the nature of, never will I accept any individual into my consciousness except as the I, Spirit of God. Each one that enters my consciousness will at that moment for me be immaculately conceived. And then that card should be right where you are when you wake up in the morning. And that's when you begin. And that card should go in your vest pocket or breast pocket or purse. And you glance at it if you take the commute train or a bus, or if you're riding in somebody else's car, or you glance at it over coffee, and you look around the room and you accept the spiritual identity of every person in that room. There should come a moment where everyone in your city, in your consciousness is the Spirit of God. Where everyone in this world in your consciousness is the child of God without opposite. You are redeeming the material world. You are redeeming the false images of a universal false mind. And you must do it. Who will do it for you? It isn't in a book. This is a state of consciousness. And a state of consciousness doesn't just happen. It is something that you constantly practice until the false falls away, revealing the presence of the real. Now, this is probably a secret that not all of us will practice immediately. But I can assure you, if it isn't tomorrow or 10 years from now, it may be 500, but you will practice it. You will someday come to that place in consciousness where you know that to deny his and her spiritual sonship is to deny your own. For there is no such thing as a separated son. To be the son, you must be the infinite self, the one. You cannot accept for yourself and deny for another. It isn't that kind of a two-edged sword. If you do it to one of these, my brethren, even the least, you do it unto me. And so we don't have people who can do wrong in this world anymore, if we're in spirit. There is no one in this world who can do wrong. There is no one in this world who can be a thief. There can be pictures of wrongdoers, pictures of thieves, and those pictures can never get outside of a universal mind, never get outside of an individual human mind. And that's where they remain. And if you step outside of that mind, you will be free of the pretended power of those pictures. The bomb cannot leave that mind to enter the channel of the divine mind in which you live. The earthquake is powerless when confronted with the enlightened consciousness. And your weapon to silence your mind is the practice of truth. Every time you find meditation difficult, it is because there is an absence of truth. When truth is present in that mind, it is quiet. And if you will feed your mind truth, that mind will be quiet. And the silence of that mind removes the channel for universal false mind to bear false witness to your Father. Now, let's think on those things. Today we're going to have an intermission because I had a feeling that the talk today will be a little longer, not too much, but a little longer than usual. There will be an intermission. But for the moment, let us take the silence as our weapon against that mind which was not in Christ Jesus. That mind which is a prevaricator from the start, a deceiver, a painter of false pictures, of shadows, material shadows, without spiritual substance. Let us see those shadows for what they are. Let us understand that they are born and they die because they are not the true self. That they suffer because they are not the true self. That they are all images in one universal false mind. And in my silence, the descent of the Holy Ghost, lifting the eye of my being above the pictures of this world will transport me without taking me anywhere to the kingdom of reality, which stands right here in a dimension which my senses cannot penetrate, beyond the radius of my touch, my smell, my taste, my vision, and my hearing. Never can I experience reality in the five senses. But in the silence, I transcend these senses, and resurrection begins. In the crucifixion of the senses, resurrection begins. And reveals the all-present Father, the Spirit, the all-pervading Spirit, which embodies beauty, truth, immortality, eternality, infinity, love, abundance, life that knows neither beginning nor end. This Spirit is my Spirit. This Spirit is the all-knowing mind. And only when I am viewing the universe through the all-knowing mind can I see, feel, experience beyond the senses the reality of all being. I cannot do it in a false mind. Above the false mind, in this omniscient mind, letting it be my mind, I can, I do, experience the fruits of the Spirit. And in this mind, no disease can be formed. Not even death. For this is the mind of truth. And embodied in this mind is the law, which has no law to oppose it, and that is the law of perfection eternal. To know the omniscient mind aright is life eternal. And that omniscient mind is your mind. It has ever been your mind, waiting to be accepted by the surrender of that which is not your mind. You can talk to this omniscient mind. It will respond. You can ask it to identify for you the manner in which you can know the forms that it externalizes. And it will tell you. It will tell you about the forms that you can trust, for they emanate from this divine essence. If you are still enough, you can commune. This is your shepherd. And when this is your shepherd, you can never want, you can never need, you need never seek. It will always put before you a feast of reality. And it has the power to do so. In the period after the intermission, we will discuss that power. Because when you are in this omniscient mind, relaxed, accepting, knowing, then you find your power. Then you find the true meaning of omnipotence. And so that's where we'll pause for a few minutes. If you're thirsty, there's plenty of water in the room to your right. You might like to walk out on the deck for a minute or two.